you, Jonga Kandemiri, for the news in Shona. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe, on Sunday, June the 14th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening. Live from Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Zimbabwe today joined the rest of the world in commemorating World Blood Donor Day, with the National Blood Transfusion Services calling on the public to donate blood to ensure that the National Blood Bank has enough supplies.
We have got a program that we are running where we are saying those who are used to the blood donation exercise can entice their akin so that they enjoy also the legacy of being heroes and heroines of tomorrow. So we just ask them to bring a friend.
Former Health Minister Henry Madzorera has commended efforts by some international non-profit medical organizations, but called on the government to complement these efforts.
We want to thank those people who come to do obstetric fistulas, cleft lips, cleft palate, and cataract operations and so forth. But the government cannot now leave that duty only to visiting teams.
50 African heads of states are currently meeting in South Africa for the 25th Africa Union Summit, chaired by President Robert Mugabe, running under the theme Year of Women's Empowerment and Development Towards Africa's Agenda 2063. We hear from recording artist Selma Mutukudzi.
It's quite an honor, and being able to lend my voice to such a cause is something that's really important to me.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. Zimbabwe today joined the world in commemorating World Blood Donor Day, with the National Blood Transfusion Services calling on the public to donate blood to ensure that the National Blood Bank has enough supplies. Regional spokesperson of the National Blood Transfusion Services speak to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
The thank yous that we give to these donors are that in an annual general meeting we normally hold, we have got milestones that these people would have covered. Some would have donated maybe 10 times, some 20 times, some 25, some 50. Some are given plaques, some are given certificates to recognize their milestones in terms of giving blood. And there are incentives that are given in between here so that they encourage them to keep coming. And some gatherings that we normally do in terms of meetings to socialize with them so that we keep on edging them on as to a very, very good, healthy lifestyle. And that is the way we are trying to make sure that these people are kept close to us so that at least life is prolonged. People enjoy the essence of having that longevity.
Some new donors are scared of this HIV scourge, and they are not sure as to how their blood is going to be accepted or how it fares. How are you luring new blood donors?
Through having motivational talks. We have got a program that we are running where we are saying those who are used to the blood donation exercise can entice their akin so that they enjoy also the legacy of being heroes and heroines of tomorrow. So we just ask them to bring a friend. And at times we have got a program where we encourage these youths, out of school youth, to come and join others at what we call splashes and galas, where they come with friends, they donate, they enjoy some music and dance, they play games and so on. Those are part and parcel of the methods that we are using to lure these donors. When and as yet these others, we make sure that we also have programs that we are having with the communities where we discuss with the community leadership, the councillors, the mayors, and any other people in the community. That way, when we do meet and then seek a recourse with them, they do come around and then we sort ourselves out, discuss until these people see the light of having the importance of giving blood.
That was Sifundo Ngwenya, the regional spokesperson of the National Blood Transfusion Services, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Former Health Minister Dr. Henry Madzorera has commended some international non-profit medical organizations offering free health services throughout Zimbabwe. International medical non-profit organizations from India, United States, and other countries joined local doctors to provide surgeries and other services that are normally not accessible due to prohibitive costs in the past year. But Dr. Henry Madzorera called on the government to complement these efforts.
Those programs are extremely good and helpful. Though they don't cover the whole country, you can't cover the whole country at one time. But the individuals who have been helped in that particular program, it actually benefited tremendously. And we want to thank those people who come to do, you know, obstetric fistulas, cleft lips, cleft palate, and cataract operations and so forth. Because each individual, we help one individual at a time. And it's extremely helpful. Those are good programs. But the government cannot now leave that duty only to visiting teams. These teams visit sometimes for 1 week, 2 weeks, or 1 month at a time. What happens the rest of the year? The government must have its own programs now to cover its population. But in summary, we are very thankful to those visiting teams and the good work they are doing.
And looking at the collapsing health system in the country, from your observation and having worked in the health sector 2 years ago, what would you say moving forward needs to change?
The way government funds healthcare needs to change. Yes, there will always be a core government budget for health, but we need a national health insurance scheme. That's what needs to change. This scheme where everybody has to fight for their own life when they are sick is not good. We need a scheme where we share risk across disease groups and risk across age groups, risk across wealth quintiles and so forth. And so the government is the only organ in the country that can actually put in place a law that brings to life a national health insurance.
That was former Health Minister Dr. Henry Madzorera. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. Again, I'm gladly joined by one of the 30 Zimbabweans who will be coming here for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Today I have David Ofisi, who is a lawyer with the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. David, thank you for joining me on the program.
No, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Now, of course, congratulations for being selected for the fellowship. You'll be here very, very soon. What was your reaction when you found out that you would be representing Zimbabwe?
Oh, wow. I'm not quite sure. I'm excited to be Zimbabwean representation, but I was elated, as I think most people were, at the opportunity to widen my experience, broaden my horizons. So I was pretty ecstatic, but it was a mix of joy and anxiety, because I know that it is not just a holiday. It will have to be a learning experience. I have to engage myself and to make the entire experience a value-adding expedition.
And of course, we know that the fellowship itself is very prestigious, but what made you want to even go through the application process?
I think the first thing is that it seems to have very lofty ideals. I think first, it names itself after Nelson Mandela, so it seems to have a very noble and altruistic purpose to it. And so I wanted to see the extent to which that can make me more effective and widen the impact of my work. So I wanted to be able to have that sort of foreign, that international experience that will make me a more effective lawyer in the field of human rights.
And of course, as you said, you are a lawyer for human rights in Zimbabwe. How has that, as you're practicing and working with people in Zimbabwe, looking at some of the challenges that are faced with people in your profession day to day?
Yes, so the challenges we face, I think they are within the context of the macro challenges that we face in the nation. And so I am, of course, of the view that at a time like now, when we don't just have problems of access to resources, to liquidity, but the fact that we are at a juncture in our country where we need to be rethinking our strategies, our options for the future, and rethinking the ways in which we're going to make our lives more livable and more successful. And so I think at this time, where there's been very little in the way of actual change in Zimbabwe, but actually more entrenching of the old order, and you find there's more and more resignation to fate as opposed to more civic action, for instance.
You'll be coming here at an interesting time where in the U.S. there has been many questions about civil rights in conjunction with the issue of police brutality. You know, coming from Zimbabwe and coming here at this particular time, how do you think that will mesh with your experience while here in the States?
I don't think it's possible for me to actually articulate the extent to which the challenges that happen in countries in properly functioning democracies like the US and the UK, how those sort of challenges tend to make our struggles more difficult. Because what obviously happens is that in our own confrontations with the state, they were always going to challenges in other countries as evidence of the fact that what we complain of is not in fact unique to Zimbabwe or in need of urgent remedy, but is prevalent throughout the world. I think I will gain something from understanding the extent to which the First Amendment rights in the U.S. and the strength of the media and their ability to expose things like that and to hold politicians to account is something which we cannot experience. I think I will enjoy how that is used in the U.S. and how progressively that then affects how society's conduct and things like that. At some level, you can locate a commonality, but there's obviously a vast difference in terms of scale, in terms of the nature of the problem, the root causes, the institutional nature of the problem when you compare the two. I think ours is a bit different and requires far more work, but the fact that there are still issues like that means that there are also more lessons to be learned within those fields of civil liberty, civil rights, but also basic entitlements of minority groups.
And you will be among 499 other young African leaders. You know, what's your hope to take back to Zimbabwe after this whole fellowship is over?
I think I want to take back hope. I think hope has deserted this land. But I also want to take back strategic interventions, ways to reinvigorate civil society and civil groups, civil action, civic leadership, and new strategies to mobilize communities, to empower communities to be able to access their leaders, access resources, and to be able to interact with governance. All in all, really, to be able to have a new perspective regarding rule of law intervention, more effective ones, which ones we can introduce and at which levels. So I think you can tell, very high hopes, very, very high hopes, and it will be interesting maybe we have this discussion after the fellowship and see the extent to which those expectations are met.
Indeed, you've already signed yourself up for interview number 2. So I'd like to thank you so very much, David, for joining me on the Youth Forum. What a pleasure to get a chance to chat with you.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
That was David Hofisi, lawyer with the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and one of the 30 Mandela Washington Fellows. I'm Tatenda Gumbo. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you join me next week.
You're listening to Studio 74 Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. 50 Africa heads of states are currently meeting in South Africa for the 25th Africa Union Summit. Chaired by President Robert Mugabe, the summit is running under the theme Year of Women's Empowerment and Development Towards Africa's Agenda 2063. We hear from recording artist Selma Mutukudzi on what role women artists working with one organization are playing at the summit.
Hi, my name is Selma Mutukudzi. I am here in Johannesburg, South Africa, at the African Union Summit, where we are lobbying for all our leaders to consider putting women first in whatever policies they put in place. We came together as female artists from all over Africa. We recorded a song and a video, which we're using as a tool to send our message across.
Tell us, how do you personally feel as an artist representing Zimbabwe and also carrying the whole of Africa on your back with other female artists to be representing women at this AU summit?
It's an honor for me. Being selected among other artists is quite an honor, and being able to lend my voice to such a cause is something that's really important to me. And so I'm quite happy and proud to be here standing up for women in general and girls as well. So I'm quite honored.
Are you going to be having an opportunity to actually perform?
I think so, yeah. We're going to do the Strong Girl song that we recorded together with the other artists, Judith Zepuma from South Africa, Vanessa from Tanzania, and Yemi Alade from Nigeria. So it's going to be quite an experience.
Also, we see that the theme for the AU this year is actually empowering women and girls towards Africa's Agenda 2063. For you as a woman, yeah, what's your own take on this theme?
Yeah, it's quite a great thing what they did, African Union, and we're trying to use this opportunity since they declared this year to be women empowerment. So it's like we're taking advantage of this moment to get all our messages across to them so that they consider putting in place policies and opportunities for women that will help in empowering whole nations. That's the belief that we have, that when one woman is empowered, you're empowering a community, a nation, an economy, really.
How do you, as an artist yourself, feel, you know, your contribution? Is it being recognized adequately? Are you being respected as a woman? And is your voice being heard?
We take each day as it comes, and we try as hard as possible to try and speak out and be heard. And it seems to be working. So far we've had a petition signed with over 500,000 people have already signed. And so using ourselves as female artists to send this message across is proving to be quite effective. And we are hopeful for what the future holds.
Are you working with any organizations during this campaign that you're currently doing?
Yeah, we're working with an organization called One. You can go to one.org to get more information. But they're the ones who came up with the idea of putting all of this together and having this campaign called Poverty is Sexist.
And what's your message personally to the Africa heads of states, in particular Zimbabwe, that are at this meeting?
I'm really passionate about health. We can't keep having women and girls dying during childbirth for lack of proper medication. And so it's something that's really important that if given an ear by our world leaders, I'd want them to put more focus on that and try and avoid all these infant mortalities.
Give us a snippet of your contribution to Strong Girls.
Okay. Zvino yave nguva yekusimudzira mudzimai. Ukasimudzira mudzimai wasimudza nyika.
Now let's take a listen to Selma Mutukudzi in collaboration with other women artists from throughout Africa in a composition called Strong Girl, a song they put together and a video under one organization which fights poverty, especially amongst women and young girls. Take a listen to Strong Girl. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Zimbabwe today joined the world in commemorating World Blood Donor Day, and African heads of states are currently meeting in South Africa for the 25th Africa Union Summit. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, June 14th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.